Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is Cheryl Sampson Ramirez, co-founder of the Philippine X and Wellness podcast. I recently discovered that September is also National Self-Care Awareness Month. In alignment with this theme, we bring to you the sixth episode of our fifth season titled Rest in Community Care. Our guests are restorative yoga teachers Liza Gasudin and Nirel Salazar. Co-hosting this episode are our very own Sheena Katz and Markeen. In a society that prioritizes profit over people, where profit is brought about by production, we often forget to rest. And so in this episode, as we talk about restorative yoga, we also prioritize and center that rest is resistance. I'd like for you to reflect on that theme of rest as resistance as we unpack this next episode. We hope that you enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our sixth episode on the fifth season of Filipina X and Wellness. I'm your co-host, Mark King. And in this episode, for audio description, I am wearing a camo hat. I have a goatee with a point on the bottom. I am bald, but it's being covered by my hat. I am also wearing a black and gray shirt. That's about three quarters length on the sleeve. I have a white wall on the right side of myself. And in the back, I have a mirror is only the thing that you can really see. And I have a little ukulele right there to my right as well. And I am here in Los Angeles on a bright and sunny day. How about you, Sheena?
Hello, everybody. Magandang araw. This is your co-host, Sheena Katz. For this episode's audio description, currently I'm wearing a black long sleeve shirt. My hair is down and I'm seated in front of a bluish gold painting behind me, also streaming from Los Angeles in Marina Del Rey. Following our last episode, Melatonin, Vitamin D, and Sleep, featuring Dr. Jacqueline Tolentino, lead functional medicine physician at Love Life, we're excited to welcome two first-time guests to the podcast today, Liza Gasudin and Nirel Salazar. In this month's episode of Rest and Community Care, we will be diving into the benefits of restorative yoga and how it can support your wellness journey. As mentioned in previous episodes, all views discussed are for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to be medical advice, nor does it constitute therapy or professional advice. Always consult with your healthcare practitioner, especially before starting any exercise or new health program or a qualified mental health professional for your particular condition. So without further ado, we'd like to welcome to our podcast, Liza and Nirel. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. And as many of you know, we love to start our episodes by learning a little bit more about our guests and where they come from. So Nirel and Liza, can you share with our community where both sides of your family are from and also where you're joining us from today?
Hi, everyone. I'm Nirel. I am currently wearing a navy blue long sleeve shirt. I have long wavy purple hair and I am seated in my office. You can see behind me are a few doors and a bulletin board. I'm coming to you right now from the San Francisco Bay Area, from the peninsula specifically. And my family is from Olongapo on my mom's side and Baguio on my dad's side. I loved visiting Baguio because it was such a nice change of cooler weather, which is what I'm mostly used to here in the Bay Area.
Hi, everyone. This is Liza. I am wearing a black and white striped shirt, and I have sea green glasses on, and my hair is short and black, and I have this hoops that say Free Palestine on them, And I'm sitting in my living room, and you can see a big bookcase and TV, my couch, and some art on the walls. I'm here in Long Beach, so not too far away from the LA area. And my family is from, so my mom's from Batangas. I think Mark King, you said your family's also from there, right? So
yes, from Santo Tomas, my mom.
But we were saying neighboring, you know, we might be long lost cousins. And my dad is from Iloilo, but he spent most of his time in Kulikuli, which is where Makati is. And he loved telling that story that, like, the big buildings in Makati, they weren't there, you know, before. And it was just like, you know, very provincial. So when you go to, you know, when you go see those, like, high rises and stuff, he would always be like, no, it wasn't like that.
That's awesome. And we were having echo issues earlier. Maybe it was the Iloilo and Kulikuli. Maybe that was the echo. Sorry, that was a little joke right there. Anyway, okay, so thank you very much for that, guys. We can't wait to dive into this whole topic of restorative yoga as we could all use and benefit these different models of rest and care for our community. But before we dive into that, could you guys go into more of a definition of what restorative yoga is? I know it's a vast system, wellness system, and there's all of these different sections of yoga. What exactly is restorative yoga for you guys?
Yeah, and I think before we define restorative yoga, we can talk a little bit about yoga as that system that you're describing. So it's a spiritual and philosophical system that goes way back. It's like ancient technology. I think the first writings about yoga were written 5,000 years before the Common Era. So, you know, that's like 7,000 years of wisdom. And, you know, the restorative piece that we're going to talk about today is that part of the asana, which is like the physical practice of yoga, like the physical postures that we know. But that's just like a small piece because there's you know, the parts that don't often get talked about, like the philosophy of the yoga, how to like live in a way that is, you know, not harmful to others, and, you know, you living in a way that cares for others and for yourself. So, you know, I think as a Pinay, as a Filipina, practicing yoga, like, oh, how did, you know, how do we have a Filipina who's practicing something that's from, you know, a region that's India. And in some of my studies and readings, I think there's some historians who are trying to explore that, like, what is the connection between this ancient practice that comes from India, and how did it get to, you know, did it come to the Philippines, or, you know, are there any connections to the Philippines? And there's some ideas that there's like these two empires, and from like the 13th through the 16th century, that may have like had some cultural exchange, you know, with the southern parts of the Philippines. So, you know, it's something to study and explore, and, you know, I'm just really curious about. But, you know, I think it's just important for us to acknowledge, like, that it's this larger system that comes from this region in India that now we practice here, you know, in our respective locations in Cali.
A little bit more about restorative yoga specifically, I'll just add on to that, is that coming back a little bit more to the present moment, there was a yoga practitioner named Iyengar, very much known for using a lot of props with his students when he would help them get into these physical postures or these asanas. So he'd use like ropes, he'd use chairs, he'd use blankets, all of these things just so you can get into a deeper pose. So that's where, you know, those roots of restorative yoga come from. And then a woman from the United States named Judith Lasseter really pioneered using that same philosophy of using props to get deeper, but more for rest. So the idea behind restorative yoga is that you find a deep, deep rest. And you can do that by using props such as bolsters, blankets, blocks, straps, honestly, anything at this point, but it's to find that really deep rest. The idea is that when you find a deep rest or find a lot of ease in your body, that physical part first, then you can start to rest into your mind and your heart as well. And then you get a really holistic type of rest rather than just physical with sleep, which we may be familiar with, but that's not the only type of rest that we need. We need something that rests our whole entire body, our whole entire spirit.
And I think too, even with sleep, sorry, Marking, Nirel is, you know, talked about us getting sleep and in our physical bodies, but like, you know, I talk to a lot of friends and, you know, a lot of people's sleep is just not restful. You know, we're like, our sleep is interrupted. You know, we have a lot of tension in our bodies. And so even sleep is hard to really achieve or rest in. So like Nirel, you know, is guiding her students in this practice of rest. So like we can, our bodies can remember what it's like to rest, you know, and I say remember because I watch my daughter, she's 7. Oh, she sleeps good. You know, it's like there's just this part of, you know, her that is like, you know, I don't think she has much tension in her body. She's really resting. And I, you know, I think as adults, experiencing the world and taking everything in, we need to practice resting and, all those supports, those props, the postures really help us to do that.
So it's not only getting a deeper stretch or a stronger pose, but it's also allowing an opportunity for us to practice intentionally being in that restorative, allowing our bodies to be have that restorative state or that restorative stage. Is that how I'm understanding that correctly?
Yeah, I think so. And I think at least, you know, and the growing up, you know, it was like, oh, you're doing nothing. Like you're not doing anything if you're not doing something. In fact, like in doing nothing through the restorative yoga, you're actually helping your body to recalibrate, like Nirel said, to restore, like coming back to yourself. You're like nourishing yourself in this way because we do all these activities that, you know, require a lot of exertion, whether that's our bodies, on our bodies or in our minds or in our hearts. So it really is that like, something coming from nothing, kind of paradox.
So when you guys are at, when you're doing poses, is there a time limit on how much time I should, in between poses, how much time I should allow my body to restore its energy or rejuvenate whatever it needs to rejuvenate? Is there a specific time frame, time period?
So they say that it takes, on average, about 7 minutes to fall asleep. And so it does take a little bit of time for you to start to drop into that type of rest. So it's not going to be like, I'm here for 1 minute and that's it. Great, I feel rested. You got to sit there for a little bit and really allow yourself to release and give yourself that time. Many students that I have, they come to me afterwards and they say, wow, Nirel, that was the hardest practice I've ever done. And they're saying that, oh yeah, I do handstands and headstands and whatever, arm balances, but just sitting in stillness and just allowing that rest and calm to come to receive that can be so hard for a lot of us, including me, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Like sometimes it's like the mind is racing, you know, sometimes people are like rushing in, you know, because they were coming from somewhere else. So it's like it takes a lot of time to settle in. And, you know, there's, I know Nyrel crafts her class and the sequence of the poses in a way so that you can really settle in to this deep rest. You know, and I think we also guide the practice. So, you know, I think with your breathing, as you're like breathing deeply, you know, you're with each, you know, inhalation and exhalation, you know, you're making more space, you know, to rest even deeper. So sometimes I primarily teach it at a middle school. Most of my classes are with my middle school students and middle school teachers. And, you know, we take our first breath together and it's like, you know, that might be the first intentional breath we have taken all day. You know, we're breathing involuntarily, but like to really take a deep inhalation and a deep exhalation, you know, I think really helps us to find some ease.
Restorative yoga. Yes. Definitely sounds very intentional and very much needed, especially nowadays when we're so just bombarded with everything and everything's coming at us so fast. Having that opportunity to be very intentional about just centering ourselves sounds very powerful. So for you guys, what is your origin story? What inspired you guys to dive into restorative yoga? What were some key events that put you on this path of discovering or going deeper into restorative yoga?
For me, I had been doing yoga for a little while, like flow-based, Vinyasa, pose-based yoga. And I was actually doing it at a climbing gym because I was climbing at the time. And then I was like, oh, yoga would be really great for stretching. So I took all of those classes. And then there was this one class that I hadn't tried yet. It was called Yin Restorative Yoga. And I went there not knowing what exactly it was. It just said, oh, you'll feel calm. You'll feel relaxed. Great. I totally would love that. And then when I got there, it was just, oh, here. Put these poses together, put these props together, and then just stay there. And we only maybe did like 3 or 4 poses, quite honestly. So that I'm like thinking in this puzzle, what's happening? And then afterwards, you know, just reflecting back on what had happened during the practice, I was like, wow, I feel calm. I feel tired. But my mind feels really clear. So I'm calm. I'm noticing the tiredness. But my mind is just kind of white. And I feel like I can just think of things so well. I can just think of whatever I need to be thinking of at that moment without being clouded with any other thoughts. And so from there, I told myself, wow, I really need this. As someone who is very... an overproductive person, a type A person, I was thinking to myself, wow, I really need this just to kind of turn off for a little while. So I did it more and more and more. And then I benefited from it so much that I myself, when I became a yoga teacher, I wanted to teach people how to do this same thing because I felt like we all needed it. And I know there's a lot of vinyasa teachers out there, but at that time there weren't that many restorative teachers or people teaching that type of, hey, you need movement, now you need rest. And so that's what really prompted me to focus majority on restorative yoga.
So I'm a teacher, and so teaching, super stressful. I was a young teacher too. So I had just started teaching right out of college and I was just so wiped and so burnt. And there was another teacher who was like, come and it'll be your best workout. And, you know, I didn't know anything about yoga at that point. And I was like, okay, I'll go to workout with her. And it really was what Nyrel's talking about, like a lot of just like really challenging asana. You're like dripping sweat on the floor, you know, like, and, you know, it's a good workout, you know, and at that point, that's all it was for me. And I, you know, little did I know that there was so much more to learn. And I would just go to different studios and practice. And I felt like oftentimes I was like the only woman of color in those rooms, you know, and, you know, I was like, I'm still going to come here and do yoga. Like, you know, I paid my class card. I deserve to be here. You know, but sometimes felt excluded, you know, that I couldn't really be in this body, you know, as a Pinay and practice in a way that felt supportive. You know, and I would look for teachers, different teachers, you know, teachers of color, women of color. And I took a class with an amazing teacher in the Bay Area who was teaching restorative workshops. So it was like, I walked in and all of the mats were in a circle. I was like, what is this? You know, because I used to go into class where it was like the person was in the front and then, you know, everyone's like lined up facing the teacher, but everything was in a circle. She had like these big bolsters, which are kind of like, they're like pillows, but they're, you know, a little more rectangular and large. And, you know, she had blocks for us. She had just like all of these different props. And I was like, what is going to happen here? And she set us up in, you know, with all of the props in a way that we could lay back and be in those poses for a long period of time. And I was like, this is nice. I've like never experienced anything like this where I could just lay back and not, you know, I wasn't coming there and, you know, if she wasn't like gonna work me out, it was like the opposite of that, where she's like, okay, your job here is to just relax. So I think that was like maybe my like first sound baths too, because she did a sound bath for us. And I was like, I want to be able to do that as well. And, you know, support my students in my classroom, you know, to be able to experience some of this. And that's how I trained to become a yoga teacher. But so it's through this program called Breathe for Change, which really helps educators who are in schools or, you know, work in education, you know, broadly defined, and teaches us like social emotional learning, mindfulness, and yoga, so that we can bring it to our schools and to our classrooms.
Wow, that's awesome. I love how hearing how you guys were introduced to this practice and it hits you a certain way that caused you to dive into it a lot deeper, finding different ways to take care of ourselves. And, you know, since the topic of our episode is rest and community care, why do you both think rest and restorative yoga is important for the health and wellness in the Filipinx diaspora? It was important for you guys and it allowed you to discover this new model for yourself and taking care. How about for the Filipino community?
I think our so I'm just thinking of my mom. So my mom, I love my mom. She's like, you know, that Tagalog term, like tapang, you know, she's like just like really tough. And she's like super masipag, you know, like hardworking. Sometimes I'm like, she doesn't rest, you know? And like, that's been my model my whole life. My mom raised me and my sister on her own, you know? So she had to work hard and do a lot for us. But I think, you know, just a lot of people in our community, you know, for economic reasons, moved here, you know, carry the weight of all the different things they face living here in the United States, and don't get the opportunity to rest. almost feel like if you do, you're not, you know, like you're being lazy or, you know, feeling like you need to continue to do more. You know, and I feel like I've seen people in my family as a result, you know, get different kind of ailments, you know, physical ailments and also mental health issues related to that. Just always working, or feeling like you have to always work. So I feel like this practice could provide, you know, a safe space, you know, if guided by, you know, someone who can be gentle and, you know, support and encourage that you're actually doing something, you know, through this practice. You know, this is like supporting you and helping you, you know, to get rest that you deserve, and not rest you deserve because you worked hard, but rest that you just deserve because you're a human being.
Yeah. How about for you, Narelle?
That is so funny, Liza, because my story is very similar, or my answer to this question is very similar, is because I grew up watching my mom and my dad work really, really hard. Totally understandable. We weren't poor, but we weren't super rich. My parents had always taught me to be very savvy with money, looking for those deals in the store, looking for the clearance section. But it was about like working hard and achieving that quote unquote American dream, like making it into whatever that means, being successful. And so, you know, my parents worked a lot. My mom worked two jobs at the hospital, and then my dad would take care of us, and then they would switch off. It was not very common for them, for all of us to be together as a family. And then seeing that, saying to myself, like, hey, is this how I'm supposed to work? I tried doing this in my 20s, like just working really hard, but it doesn't feel great. And I think what I also realized is that, you know, we all do, especially for people who come from families, immigrant families, we all need that permission to rest, whether it's from someone else, your family, your friends, or maybe a restorative yoga teacher like me and Liza. So I think that's why community care is so important, and rest is a really big piece in that, because like Liza said, it was so easy for all of us to get burned out. It's maybe we've seen our family, our moms, our dads, our caretakers get burned out, and you know, maybe we didn't know what to do, but maybe the message that we needed to tell each other is that when we rest, we can support each other, we can support our family, our friends, our community so much better. You know, right? Where I love the idea of some people are working or being active, and then other people are resting. And therefore, you can continue to generally move forward, but you know, there's just a very sustainable way. I think it's a part of sustainability of not only our own lives, but our community to all move forward together if we give each other the permission and the space and the time to rest.
I think it's so crazy. Like, we do ask this question, a general question of how we can better take care of our community by sharing all these different modalities. But I think what's really powerful, the way you guys framed it, when you reference it to your parents, because you do, we see our parents, we see how much they work, whether it's at the office or stay-at-home parents, we see how much work they put in. And if I look back at my parents, I don't really remember them being intentional about their wellness. Right? It was always work, 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 work. Because to your point, Liza, if they're not working, are they not doing enough? Like, that's the running dialogue, right? And as our parents get older, we see like, oh my goodness, the benefits that were missed when they didn't take care of themselves because we didn't have that dialogue about restorative yoga or taking care of ourselves mentally and emotionally. Like, these are things that, yes, as a community, we really get to understand. But when you frame it around your parents, that gives it a more powerful, at least for myself. I mean, it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. And it's also not their fault, right? I think sometimes like wellness, you know, can frame it as like an individual choice. You know, you didn't do this thing. And that's why you're unwell, you know, without looking at the systems. And that's what I appreciate about Pilipinx wellness, like looking at, you know, the larger systems that make us unwell, you know, and also introducing these practices that we're all using, you know, to take care of ourselves, because it's like a constant onslaught of, you know, like you said, work, you know, and carrying like the trauma of how we're being treated. You know, I just think of like what's happening in our, you know, in like now with, you know, the ICE raids and, you know, what we're seeing on social media happening in Palestine. It's just like so much that we're all carrying, you know, and then they're like, and why are you unwell? I really appreciate the work that Pilipinx Wellness is doing to uplift the ways that we're all taking care of ourselves and each other, so that we can share those ideas, because it's often not just one thing that we're doing, you know, that keeps us well. It really is this community that, you know, you're helping to build.
Yeah, no, I love that you gave those examples, because it really reintroduces the idea of duality, right? Which is, yes, we know that hard work and sacrifice is exactly what they needed to do at that time with what they knew. And also, we know now that too much of that can lead to physical ailments, mental ailments. So I think there's a world that both can exist. And I think it's great that you bring both of them up, because it's true. You can't just ignore that method did work. And also, we need to adjust to do it better this time around. So I appreciate that. So I know that you both touched on this a little bit earlier, but I'd love to kind of go back into it. You know, how long exactly have you both been practicing or teaching restorative yoga? I know you both said right after college, but you look like you're right out of college. So I'd love to get some background of how long that actually was. And also, you know, what can you share about the students that you've worked with? You know, who are they? What kind of shifts or feedback have you seen in them and yourselves throughout this practice?
So for me, I have been teaching yoga generally, again, for 5-ish plus years, but it wasn't until the pandemic, so maybe about 3 to 4 years ago, when I thought to myself, hey, what this situation that we're all in really brought out was that we're tired. We're tired of how things had been going, and we're looking for a change. And for me, that was a sign to say, hey, I want to primarily, a majority of my classes to be focused on restorative yoga and this practice and this idea and this philosophy of rest. So it's been a little while, and I started teaching that. I had been teaching restorative yoga a little bit before, but I really started to amp it up during the pandemic. And it was just so funny because, you know, it'd be later at night, of course, and I'd say, hey, nobody needs to have their camera on. As long as you can hear my voice, you can get yourself cozy in bed or on the couch, and I'll just end the meeting afterwards. If you fall asleep, that's totally okay. Giving them that permission to rest and permission to just drift off. It's always really nice. I myself has also taken classes like that, and it's just nice. It's just nice to be with people who are like, that's okay. Take your time. Stay calm. Let yourself rest. I'm finding that the people who come to my classes are oftentimes people who have experienced a little bit of corporate life or life outside of college. Maybe they've had a job for a little while
And then they're just finding that they're really tired, or this is just not, this pace is not for them. I also have a lot of mothers, right, who are just looking for some time away from their kids to just lie down. So I'm just giving that permission. And I also get a lot of families with older children. So maybe young adult children with their moms and dads, that this is a practice that they can all do together and they can all enjoy. So that's been really great to see that that people can bring, you know, any type of generation. I have had a few kids in my class, and it's just funny. Sometimes they're either really tired, they just knock out so fast, or they do kind of get a little bit jittery and they'll like sit up and look around. But for the most part, it's been really nice to see a lot of different generations come to practice together.
Very cool. What about you, Liza?
So I've been practicing yoga for about 20 years, but restorative yoga, I would say maybe in the last, you know, maybe 10 years, taking some classes here and there, a lot of workshops. And then after doing teacher training, wanting to bring this to my, you know, my classes. And Nairal was mentioning, like, with young people, you know, it's like sometimes when you're in a class, it's like super silent. But if you have young people in your class, yeah, it's not silent. There's like giggles and, you know, which I also welcome too, because part of it is like, especially for middle schoolers, it's like being comfortable in your own body. Like there's a piece where you're like, okay, this is strange. You know, I'm lying in this, you know, or sitting in this, you know, way that I might have not sat in before. You know, but so, you know, I have middle schoolers, you know, in Long Beach, and then I would teach an after school class with teachers, and it'd be, you know, on a voluntary basis, and they just come after school, and it'd be like our yoga community, you know, really to just like relax after, you know, stressful day. And then a really good friend of mine, two good friends of mine, they lead a program called Critical Embodied Wellness for Educators. There's the space for educators to learn embodiment practices. You know, it's like teaching and helping teachers to feel and to be able to name it. And then, you know, from there, being able to act. You know, versus like simply reacting to whatever, you know, maybe our trauma response is. So she's actually a guest on Pilipinx Wellness, so Dr. Stephanie Cariaga and Tanya Suzuki, they run that program, and they invited me to do a few restorative classes in the program. And it was really great because they framed it as like, you know, having a guide, you know, you need a rest guide. And we read this article or this chapter from a book about how that's how wolves actually rest. It's like there's always, you know, one wolf who's kind of watching out for the pack while the pack rests. So I was like, oh, I like that, you know, framing the work that Nairal and I are doing as, you know, being a guide in rest, or like, you know, keeping the pack safe, you know, because you do need that safe container for rest. You know, like folks won't be able to rest if they don't feel that it's a safe space. So I feel like that really frames it in a different way. And then now I'm teaching a class at Kubo, which is really great. It's on Wednesday nights, and I feel like the people that come to that class, like, I was like, oh, I love this, you know, because it's like community folks. It's like, it's our educators, it's our community organizers, it's our counselors. There's a group of the teachers and volunteers from Filipino Cultural School who came last night. And I was like, this is so wonderful, you know, that our teachers are having a space, are coming together to rest, you know, because the work that they're doing is really important. So, and I hope that can continue. We were doing a series in July, and then we're going to do another one in August. And, you know, as long as people keep coming, I would love to continue to teach that class. Like, I looked out into the room and I was like, this is like a dream, you know, to have all of these, you know, melanated people in this room resting together.
So we are excited to experience a glimpse into what you offer in your restorative yoga classes. But before we start, is there anything that you can share with our community, you know, any context on how to prepare or what to expect? You know, can you tell us also a little bit more about the props that you typically use and give us context there as well?
Yeah, so depending on where you are, if we're setting up in, you know, a community space or a studio or school, or if you're at home, so it might differ, but I'll kind of give both. So it's nice if you can have the lights low, you know, imagine trying to rest in like a really bright space. That's not conducive. So if you can dim the lights, and a mat. So, and if you don't have a mat, you can use a towel, like a beach towel or a blanket. Those work well too. And then we usually have two blocks, a bolster, which is like a long pillow. It's a little harder. I also bring in a chair depending on if there's room on the wall, if we were going to do a pose like legs up the wall. So a chair can work as well, and I'll keep a chair nearby. Extra blanket, you know, in case we get cold or we need to use that for support as well. And like a strap or a belt, you know, that can sometimes help with some of the poses too, just depending on which ones we're doing. And if you don't have blocks, like I've seen people use, or I've used stacks of books, I think anything that, you know, can bring the earth closer to you. You know, if you're lying down, or, you know, forward folding, you know, something that can just bring the earth closer to you.
Very cool. I don't have blocks, but I do have books. So we'll go with that.
Yeah, you can stack like two or three. It's like a block.
Great. So whenever you're ready, please lead us through a brief practice.
All right, everyone. It's Nirel again. This will be a really quick 5-minute practice. And you can do this however feels comfortable. You can sit in a chair. You can lie down on the ground, even in your bed or on your couch, my personal favorite. And whatever makes you feel comfortable. So make sure that if you're seated, your feet are flat on the ground, or you can place something underneath your feet if they don't reach the ground. You can sit back into your chair. You can add extra pillows, use a blanket, whatever feels comfortable. And then you can choose to either close your eyes, or you can gently have a soft gaze, whatever you choose. Allow your eye muscles, your eyelids, your eyebrows to be soft. And then once you find that, once you've settled in, just start to breathe. And allow yourself to breathe whatever, however feels the most natural to you. So if you breathe through your chest or your belly, or maybe your shoulders rise, let them feel natural. Let them move naturally. And allow your breath to feel full and nourishing. Imagine sending your breath through every single part of your body, every nook and cranny. So imagine sending your breath all the way to your fingertips, to your toes, to the top of your head, even into the very tip of your nose. Imagine sending that breath everywhere. And if your breath starts to feel a little forced, a little stressed or tensioned, let that go. Find that comfortable, easy breath. Coming back to that natural way of breathing, that's natural for us. And yes, we do leave a lot of space here for you to breathe. You do this all in your own time. We're just simply here to guide you. And from here, with your natural breath, allow yourself to get softer. With every exhale, imagine getting 1% softer. So it doesn't have to be much. Eventually, all these exhales will add up. All these 1% will add up. And you'll start to feel soft. You'll start to feel heavy. And allow yourself to do that. This softness, this heaviness is the rest, is the release taking place. Few more rounds of this natural breath here. And then we'll come out of this slowly, gently, and kindly. So just to bring our minds back to this present moment, you can start to wiggle your fingers and your toes. Allow your mind to anchor onto these sensations that are happening in this present moment. And then slowly, gently, kindly start to make those movements bigger. You might open and close your hands. You might do a couple of ankle rolls. You can even do a couple of neck rolls. Or if you're lying down, you can shake your head no. And then when you feel ready to come back to this present moment, maybe you reach your hands over your head, nice little stretch. Yeah. And as those arms come back down, start to slowly blink your eyes open. And come back to this present moment.
Ooh, dang. That was awesome.
Yeah, the softness. I could feel the softness in my face. I tend to like clench, you know, just like my, it's always so surprising how much tension is in my face. So as you were guiding us through it, I could just feel kind of the softness returning to my face. So thank you, Nyrell.
Yeah, that was
awesome. You're so welcome.
Very, very, super meditative.
For me, it's my jaw. I don't think I realize how much tension you hold clenching, and then when you relax it you can feel it. So that was wonderful. Thank you.
And I also just want to point out Nyrell is like really skilled in her cueing. I don't know if we all noticed how many options she was giving us through her guidance. You know, it's like you can do this or you can choose this. And you know, I think that's really intentional cueing and really trauma-informed, you know, because I remember classes back in the day where it's like, no, you do this and there's one way to do it, you know, but this was really like embodied. We could choose in our own body how to practice. So thank you, Nairel.
Thank you, Liza.
And I love that you said that all these 1% will add up. I think that's so important because nobody quite gets meditation right the first time or yoga right the first time. So it's good to know that it's all going to add up to something. Thank you.
Yeah. Eventually you get there.
I've heard somewhere there, as far as meditate, there is no bad meditation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's all like going in the right direction, just as long as you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So again, that was super awesome. That was an awesome and well-needed practice right there. So let's bring it back to community. Have either of you taught restorative yoga to any family members, or like, how did you explain it to your parents when you were letting them know that you're going into restorative yoga? What were their responses? What stood out to you? What was your experience?
I'm still working on my mom. And she's like, what is that yoga? I've asked her, like, you know, we can just do a few things together. You know, she's like, no. So I'm still working on her. You know, like I said, my mom's like super tapang. She's tough, you know. I guess to give you another example, you know, like as I was practicing more meditation, I was like, you want to come to Joshua Tree with me? It's really beautiful. It's like beautiful rocks and trees. You know, we can sit on the rocks and we'll just like enjoy ourselves. And I brought her there and she was like, it's just rocks. You know, and I was like, it's beautiful though, Ma. She's like, I don't know why you like the rocks. You know, so, and that's okay. Like, I love my mom and I'm just going to continue working on her. She has a exercise practice that she does. So I'm glad that she has some, you know, she's incorporating movement, you know, throughout her day. But my husband, my partner and my daughter, they practice with me a lot. So we practice at home together. And that has been really great to, you know, be able to like rest together. You know, and of course I have 7-year-old, so she's like, let's try this, let's do this. Like, you know, this is long, you know, so, and I just think allow for the giggles and the fun. Because I also think like it could be a playful practice too. It doesn't always have to be super serious and silent. So yeah, but wish me luck, my mom. I'm gonna keep working on my mom.
That's awesome. How about for you, Narelle?
So let me think about this. I would like to credit myself with bringing yoga into my family. I am originally from Los Angeles, and so when I go back home, I would take yoga classes at studios or just try out different studios. But I think because of that, I would always drag my youngest brother along. He is now a very seasoned yoga practitioner. He's actually more of an Ashtanga, rocket yoga type of person. So we're complete opposites, but it's really nice to do classes together when I go home to LA. So he's been practicing a lot. I think, let me see here. My dad has taken one of my classes when he's come to visit me in the Bay Area. And he's like, can I do this? Am I going to be flexible enough? I'm not flexible at all. And I said, yeah, totally, Dad. It's just lying down and stretching. And I remember the class, his first class, I had them in the back. They helped me set up all the mats. And I gave this cue before we started to release your face, right? So I was like, release your eyebrows, release your forehead, release your cheeks and your lips. And so I can see my dad in the corner. And he told me about this afterwards. He was like, he's like scrunching up his face. He
he's like lifting his eyebrows. And so I was like, okay, wow, my dad's into this. And then, of course, you know, all the blankets, all the pillows that I gave him, he loved that. He said, oh, wow, if this is yoga, I can do this all the time. So I think it's really lovely to, one, shout out to my brother Adriel again. It's great to have a yoga partner whenever I go to LA or when he comes up here to the Bay Area. And it's great to know that my family is also open to it. My dad just says like, oh yeah, this is easy, I can do this. And my mom, she also does yoga on her own. I think after I've been telling her about, oh yeah, yoga can help you, especially that sustainability factor. She's a little bit older now. And so one time I came home, she had done it was a yoga for healthy backs or something like that. I'm like, yes, mom, yes. So again, I think I'm the reason for yoga in my family. I'll totally take it. And I'm so glad that they're open to it. It did take a little bit of time. It did take a little while for me to get them to a place where they're open to it, kind of dragging them to these yoga studios that I wanted to try, to these teachers that I wanted to take a class from. But I'm really glad that they've been open to it, and they've been willing to, you know, let me try my restorative yoga cueing on them when I come home.
That's so great that you both are able to get your parents to to be open enough to try. And it's so funny when both of you guys were talking about your parents doing your practice like an automatic. I could see my parents like, release your face. What is that? What do you mean, release my face? So that's awesome. But it's little steps like that to introduce it to our parents. And then when our parents experience those things, it gives an opportunity to go to their communities with their friends and their peers. And it's like, boy, did you try out this restorative yoga? You get to release your face. I think that's so awesome. That's so awesome. So when it comes to rest and community care and restorative yoga, who are some of your main influences in this practice for you guys?
For me, it is definitely Trisha Hershey, who runs the NAP ministry. She calls herself the NAP Bishop, very much giving the message of rest is resistance, right? Especially because we've been talking about as immigrants, as Filipinos, we've always been working. And so rest can be a type of resistance to resist this grind culture, this idea, this notion that we have to work, we have to grind in order to be quote unquote successful, that we can actually have places of rest, kind of step back, and we can still be successful. Also, Simone Biles, taking her mental health into consideration when going into the Olympics and actually stepping out, like, wow, that's amazing. And learning about what was going on through her mind, I'm like, wow, on a global stage, she had the guts to step back to prioritize that mental health, that rest. Take it back and then come back better than ever, right? I also see a lot of my aunties, my uncles, my mom, my dad. They're also my inspirations in the sense that, you know, I see them work so hard and it makes me think to myself, do I have to live that life? I mean, I'm so grateful for everything that they've done. And I want them to feel rested as well, like they deserve it. They deserve it for all the hard work that they've done, for all the food they put on the table, for nurturing us, me and my brothers. They deserve rest, and I don't see them take rest enough. Even, you know, telling my mom or my dad, hey, let's just like chill, let's just, you know, take a step back. It's hard for them. And I think that's also the inspiration. I see that not only in my family, but also in the community where there's the idea of you need to push through, you need to grind, you need to go forward, keep going forward no matter what.
That's also my inspiration for this practice, to say that, hey, we can still continue to go forward. We can still continue to make changes in our own personal lives and in our community. And we can also rest. In fact, we are stronger when we rest. So those are the influences in my practice. And I'm so grateful to all of them, even my family, my parents, that show me that we don't need to grind, or at least it makes me think about, hey, we don't need to just keep pushing ourselves to the brink. We can take that step back when we need to.
Yeah, that's great. How about for you, Liza?
Thank you, Nirel. I'm reading this book right now that I'm really loving, by Dr. Gail Parker. It's called Restorative Yoga. I'm actually going to show you the book. It's Restorative Yoga for Ethnic and Race-Based Stress and Trauma. What I really love about this book is, she gives all of these anecdotes of, people experiencing different ethnic and race-based stress, through these, she tells the stories and, how... the practice of yoga has helped them. And then she also really describes what yoga, is doing in your brain. she's able to explain all this, I'm not a doctor. So she describes the parasympathetic nervous system and, because you can feel it when you're practicing it, but it's one thing to then read and be oh, that's what my brain is doing, or that's what my lungs are doing. And she does that in a way that's really accessible. So I'm really learning a lot from her book. Trisha Hershey, I was also going to mention Nirel. I actually have her deck. She has the rest deck. And sometimes I'll just pull a card and that will be my affirmation for the day, and sometimes it really is just rest is your birthright, rest is a birthright. It's not something you have to work for. No matter how hard you're working, you deserve it. Even, if you just sat around all day, it's part of, what it means to be person. I also, I think Tracy Stan Newell, her book is called Radiant Rest. It focuses on yoga nidra, which is it's kind of this idea of yogic sleep. So it's a little it's not necessarily restorative yoga, but there is some connection. She introduces some practices that, really help, are very restorative. So I've enjoyed reading her work and learning from her too. Like Nirel, I think my mom in her toughness, in her tapangness, she's influenced me to also think about she's taking care of herself in these other ways now that she's older, she's retired, and she integrates movement into her life. And it might not be the yoga that I'm practicing, but she's so consistent, so consistent. And I feel that's kind of a harder challenge for myself. It's while I am a teaching restorative yoga, I struggle too to do anything every day, I think my mom learned the discipline of taking, herself, to the gym every day, partly because it replaced her working every day. So she's committed, she's committed and she's disciplined. And I definitely am inspired by that aspect of my mom's, wellness practice. Yeah, because I would like to have and I always say this, I'm working on my morning practice. I am still, you know, kind of a hurricane in the morning, especially during a school year. You know, and I've said, like, I really want to be able to spend the morning slowly, like, ease into my day. You know, and I do recognize that I'm a teacher. And so, you know, there are conditions that make it such that I'm like, oh, I have to do this in the morning. But it is something that I aspire to, you know, the folks who have that slow morning ritual with their tea or their coffee, and they read and they, you know, have a morning yoga practice. I'm not quite there yet. And I just like to share that because I think sometimes, you know, people might come on this podcast and be like, they got it all together. And, you know, that might not necessarily be the case. Like, I think we're all still learning and growing. And I also feel like the community around us, that's like why we need each other to support each other in continuing our practices.
That's so, so real. And it just brings the humanity to the forefront of that, because, you know, I do emotional intelligence work, but that doesn't mean I'm emotional intelligence 100% of the time. There's definitely times where I just slip because I'm human, right? Like, and those practices, obviously it's the work to the daily practice, but life happens. We're in this society that's constructed to where we do have to get up early in the morning, or try to get up early in the morning, and go through this hurricane of routines of getting everybody ready, getting ourselves ready so that we can tackle the day. And we really forget, like, to your point with just the whole restorative yoga, like, we have to remind ourselves that we can't be revving this engine 100% 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have to remind ourselves that we do need to take these breaks. We do need to get to sleep. We do need to have this restorative process for ourselves in order to be able to show up better in our daily lives and with our friends, with our family, with our community. And that's why I think it's so important, you know, to get this type of, or this modality out to the community, so that we can remind ourselves that it is important for us to take those moments to take care of ourselves, to be reflected, to restore our systems. For you guys, is there any other, obviously you guys are doing restorative yoga. Are there any other modalities that you incorporate into your practice that maybe might be beneficial for other people in our community to take a look at as well, in support of restorative yoga? Is there any things that you guys use or look at?
This might not necessarily be seen as like another modality, but it could be. So like a lot of people, I started gardening during the pandemic, and I feel like yoga and gardening have like a relationship. So, you know, it is, I come out to the garden every morning, you know, some days I'm watering, some days I'm weeding, but just getting my hands in the dirt, you know, and then also like just observing things growing. You know, it's a slow practice, you know, sometimes like it takes like 100 days for a seed to become the fruit, or, you know, the vegetable. And I feel like that's been incredibly healing. You know, I feel like there's something very ancestral, you know, I feel like there's like some ancestral medicine there. Like growing my first ampalaya, which is also like really good for us. You know, it's like, you know, our lolos and lolas were growing these vegetables that they knew are also medicine. Yeah, like something about it, you know, when I started to practice gardening, I was like, this feels familiar. So I love to encourage. I'm actually part of a gardening collective. There's three of us Pinays here. We go by Ginitan Gang, and we've done like workshops for kids, but also for families, adults, you know, who want to start gardens, even in very small spaces. Like, I've grown things in very, you know, just like small patios and things like that. But just so we can grow our own food, but also like experience that connection to land and ancestors. So I would, if you haven't gardened or grown anything, yeah, it's worth the try. And it's all, you know, kind of trial and error, you know, which is similar to yoga, you know, like you're just trying out these different shapes. You know, if we think about it, it's like you're moving your body in a way and trying to, you know, create a particular shape. So, yeah, that's my main one. It's like the yoga and the gardening together. And then I recently started walking, like taking long walks around my neighborhood. Nick, you know, Cali, unless you live in a walkable neighborhood, you know, a lot of people are just driving, you know, we're in our cars a lot. And I feel like walking is like really great meditation, time for meditation, just like clear my mind. I mean, it's funny, I heard these like recent news things about like the importance of fart walk, but really just like for digestion, you know, silly, but they're like calling it that. But it's really, you know, to like aid your digestion, you know, lower blood sugar.
What do they call it?
Fart walks.
Fart walks with a
fart.
T?
Yeah, fart walks. Like it, the importance of the fart walk, like walking after eating. Yeah.
So that's an actual practice.
Yeah.
You can look it up.
There's articles about it. I mean, it doesn't have to be called that, but they started calling it that. It's really a digestive walk. But yeah, I started walking more. And you could consider it that, you know, the walk after a meal. But I walk in the morning. I try to walk after a meal. Nice.
That's so funny that there's an actual name for it, an actual practice.
Yep.
I thought it was just something I would do.
Yeah. It's effective. Let's say that.
Oh, no, I believe it's effective. It's been effective for me. I just didn't realize there was an actual practice. That's great to know. And I could see so like how yoga and gardening like overlap, because it is requires a lot of patience. You're planting a seed. You're trying to figure out these poses to get the perfect, to finally get it to where it's supposed to be more effective for you. And that whole process of time and nurturing, so I can see a lot of overlap in the gardening and the yoga, and now being able to incorporate the fart walk, which is awesome. That's great. I love that. How about for you, Myrel? Is there any other types of modalities that you incorporate into your practice?
Yeah, so it's so funny, Liza. I think my mom's yoga is gardening, because she's a great gardener and she has a whole entire garden. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's her practice. She doesn't necessarily always come to my class, but she does her own practice. So for me, what I like to do is I like to collaborate with people. I always stress the importance of especially community leaders, yoga teachers, people who are generally leaders or leading groups, to always make time to be held by other people. It also helps with the community care, right? So for me, I like to incorporate sound healing, a lot of sound. I myself am a sound healer. And so I do pair a lot of restorative yoga with sound healing. I also have a friend, Joe, from the mats in Daly City, who helps me a lot with the sound healing. I have a friend, Nicole, who does guided imagery, and that's really nice, especially when you pair restorative yoga, sound healing, and guided imagery. We're just getting real complex here. I personally also am a Reiki practitioner. That's also a great way to have a guide through your resting. I do somatic sound healing along with my friend Joe. And I also try to be just open to trying other things. I've tried yoga nidra with restorative yoga as well. I try it for myself, and then I see if
the audience, my community also is open to it. And it's a little bit of an experimental process about like what things do work and what things don't work. And oftentimes it depends on my season of life or season of week or season of day, what resonates me or what doesn't resonate with me as well. But I love to just explore and ask other people to come in and collaborate. Or I also love to go to other people's classes. And so I need to go to one of Liza's class when I'm down there in Southern California next time.
Well, the same. I need to go to your class in the Bay.
I love hearing about incorporating all the different, those different modalities with the sound healing. That's a huge one. The somatic practice, the energy, the Reiki. Like, it's so great. It allows you the yoga practice. You still, even though there's a system, you're still able to be creative in how you present this information in helping our community take better care of themselves. That's so awesome.
Yeah, so for me, I am mostly all around the Bay Area, mostly in the peninsula. I teach a couple of studio classes at the Mats in Daly City. I also teach at UCSF in Mission Bay and the YMCA at Crane Cove Park. I'm often literally touring around the peninsula doing a lot of libraries. So we bring restorative yoga and sound healing to libraries, and that is free for the public. You can just go online. It's the San Mateo County Libraries, and you can just sign up. We have a couple of options for payments for YMCA, UCSF, as well as Daly City. And so you can check on those online. But there's also a lot of great introductory rates out there. I believe that all of them have some kind of introductory rate, so you can just go and you can try. But I love to just introduce people through the San Mateo County Library events that we put on, because those are completely free and it's a great community to be in. Lots of different ages of people, oftentimes families come there and they practice together.
I'm currently teaching a restorative class at Kubo in Long Beach, and that's from 8 to 9:30, and we're going to continue in August and then into September, hopefully. And then I'm doing some workshops here and there when invited. So, you know, if anyone wants to invite me to do a workshop with their group. And I really like the idea of the library, Nirel. Like, that's such a great public space. You know, and they often have like a community room where you can do something. So I might actually talk to the library out here for that. Yeah, I'm like, I hadn't really thought about yoga at the library. I think that's really great that you're doing that.
So as we begin to close, please remind our community again how to reach you if they have any additional questions about restorative yoga after listening to this episode.
Yeah, so I am all over online. I have a website, nirelltheyogini.com. I am also on Instagram at nirelltheyogini. And I also show up in a lot of other different places, especially events with the YMCA and also with the Mats in Daly City.
I'm working on my yoga Instagram. But for now, we're at the Liza. It looks like Thelza, T-H-E-L-Z-A. And you can also look me up at Kubo LB. They list when the class is there as well.
And so for you guys, final words, is there anything else that you would want our community throughout our diaspora to know when it comes to rest and community care? What is your hope for the Filipino-Philippine-X diaspora within the realm of health and wellness? Is there any final words or thoughts?
I think the main thing I would want our community to know is that We deserve rest, period. Not because of our work or because of anything we have done, but we deserve to be held and, you know, to experience what it's like to really get rest.
And you're also not alone, right? Rest is community care, and it is so much nicer to rest when there are other people around you to look to rest with you. So know that you're not alone. You're always welcome to reach out to someone, or even just to have someone with you to try something new. So even though rest is really important for the individual, it is also important for the community as well.
I love that. Rest is important, and then rest as a community is just as equally important. And I think those are great reminders. I'd like to thank you guys very much, both you, Liza, and Nirel. We look forward to witnessing your yoga journeys unfold as you continue to offer healing, rest, and community care for our diaspora. We will continue to help share your upcoming opportunities as we stay connected in partnership. And to our community, for our next episode, we will be talking with Hmong Hilots, or Hilot practitioners, for Filipino American History Month. Stay tuned as this episode will air on Wellness Wednesday, October 15th. As we close, we'd like to acknowledge once again our phenomenal guest speakers, Liza Gasudin and Nirel Salazar, our creative lead, Richie, our video editor, Harmony Tongonan Kwan, our social media strategist and development coordinator, Kathleen Corio, our outreach manager, Maya Custodio, our advisors, Allison De La Cruz, Rianne De Los Reyes, Sapo Teologo, our community partners, SoCal Filipinos, A. Jason, This Filipino American Life, Rising Filipinas, Therapinay, and all our community members for your shares and support. As always, we'll share more about our guests offering on IG stories and highlights for permanent access with any of their upcoming events. Be sure to follow us on PhilippineX and Wellness on IG, Threads, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Don't forget to continue to hit like and subscribe on our PhilippineX and Wellness YouTube channel. Thank you always for believing in us. Be well, everyone. Continue to take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you guys so much. Liza and Nairo, it was so awesome to be able to have this conversation with you guys. And we look forward to seeing your trajectory as you guys continue with your restorative yoga. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Maraming salamat.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for having us.
Hello, everyone. Magandang araw. This is Sheena Katz and Mark King, and we are the hosts of Philippine X and Wellness, a podcast rooted in community, culture, and collective healing for the Philippine X community.
And today we are super excited to announce something we've been dreaming of for a while. We are launching our official Patreon.
This is your invitation to ride along with us. If our episodes have ever made you feel seen, witnessed, or naintindihan, then this is your space to be part of what keeps it going.
Your support on Patreon directly funds our ability to keep creating, covering production costs, bringing on more brilliant guests, and expanding what this community can be.
We've also created some very special offerings for our members, things like exclusive bonus contents, Filipino health and wellness products, invitations to live wellness events, digital resources, and more.
Whether you're joining for $1 a month or $20, know that every contribution fuels a movement, one where Filipino wellness is visible, centered, and celebrated.
So if you've been vibing with us, learning with us, and would like to see more, come join us on Patreon. Let's strengthen this movement together.
Maraming salamat.
Maraming salamat.